Good morning. It is great to have you all here. Today's scripture is from 1 Peter, or some people like to say 1 Peter. No judging, you're good. But in this chapter, we started last week talking about we're between two worlds. We're between two worlds. This world that we are currently in, and the world that God is making and renewing and transforming. And we are, if you will, these exiles. And so he, this Peter, this writer, is one of the early disciples. He is kind of the disciple when people think of disciples. He gives some, not just direction, he's really trying to help us understand some things that are a little bit, not just good ideas, not just information, but really to help us live into this new way of being. And he says this, like newborn babies crave spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. As you come to him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. He goes on later to say, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again. Thank you for this special time. Thank you for expanding our family. We pray that you would take this moment, take this time, and that you would bless it. You would anoint every one of us, that we would be different people because of it, that we wouldn't get caught up in the stuff. We wouldn't get caught up in our struggles. We wouldn't get caught up with maybe the junk that's going on in our lives. We wouldn't look at just our pain, but we would surrender to your love. And that we would come to know that Jesus, you, with you, life is so much better. And because of you, we're so much better at life. We give you this time now. We pray this in your son's name. Amen. I mentioned we live between two worlds. There's a world that's broken. You can't turn on the TV and the news and not see it's broken. You can't be a middle schooler and not know the world's not broken. You can't maybe pick up the phone with some friends or family and not know the world isn't broken. It's broken. But God knows, and he's good. And his answer to us is Jesus. His answer to us is the word, the name, above all other names. And the challenge that you and I face today is really trusting him. I prayed earlier that I believe Jesus makes our life better. I really do. But I also think Jesus makes us better at life. I think it's one of those moments where when we realize that God is so much bigger and so much his plans and his ministry and his work in us is so much deeper than what we know it to be. I mentioned to you before that we are, again, these exiles. We kind of live between these two worlds. It's another way of putting it is we're already not yet. That God has already started his new creation, and yet it's not yet fully here. That above all things, we should keep loving, show hospitality, and use our gifts to serve one another. And that by your life, we demonstrate to a broken world what life could be in him. This new creation, this new way of living. This last year, I was so fortunate enough to go to this place called Israel. It's kind of a big deal in the Bible. And in, if you will, there's this recreation, representation of, and this is a giant model. Like, this picture does not do it justice, okay, the detail that's in here. This is probably 60 square yards of model, okay, that they've created. And this, if you will, is the temple, what we know of historically, evidence. There's so much evidence for the Bible, and there's so much evidence for what we know in the Bible. It's crazy that we don't know more about that, but it's true. So we have this evidence, and we know that this is how the temple was built. This would actually be where, if you will, they would enter these gates. If you will, you have these two doors next to each other, two doors, again, on that flat level. That would be the entrance to the temple. The temple was a big deal for the Jewish people. The temple was where heaven and earth met. Heaven and earth. That they knew, God met them there. This temple is a big deal because then these writers of the New Testament start to describe the temple in different ways, in new ways, in ways that should impact us even to this day. Here's another picture, if you will, of the temple. And so, again, just a second ago, I was showing you the left side on the bottom part, and can you see the massiveness of this, right? Of the outer courts and the inner courts. And then you have, if you will, in the center at the highest pinnacle, that is where known as the Holy of Holies, the place, again, where God dwelt. Now, we're in a different place and a different time. Some 2,000 years later, here we are. The temple is no more as what it was. There are people still working to try to rebuild that temple. I find that interesting because Peter says something different. Peter doesn't say we need to rebuild the temple. No, let me go back to this. Hold on. I think he's saying he's already building it. Like newborn babies. Oh, that didn't work. Let's try that again. Sorry about that. Like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. That we're actually supposed to grow up in our salvation. Now, what does that mean? That's a big word, salvation. That's a kind of a religious word, right? It's a church word. You ask a question, it's like, I don't know, but it must be Jesus, right? It's got to be. It's always Jesus when you're in church. The reality is salvation is a new way of being, the way God intended. You and I loving others. You and I serving others. You and I being what God always intended. He says, grow up in your salvation now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. He's quoting a psalm of David. David happened to be the first great king of Israel. He was a king that helped and that trusted. He helped others. He served others. He seeked out injustice and stomped it out. And he trusted the Lord. He did some great things. He did some horrible things too. He made some horrible mistakes. And yet God said he still was a man after his own heart. Interesting. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And as you come to him, the living stone. Wait a minute. The stone that was being built up. The stone that was being called. The stone that in that culture would have been known to understand. This is where God dwelt. The stone that built the temple. But now it's not a rock. It's actually a person. As you come to him, the living stone, this might be confusing, just stay with me, try your best, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to him. You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. Whoa, doesn't seem like they're building the temple again, but we are the temple. Don't miss this. This is big. That the early writers of Christianity are helping us understand that you and me, believe it or not, it's so humbling and mind-blowing. We are God's temple now. That he doesn't have a big fancy place. He has our heart. He has our life as his home. That you have to wrestle with who this Jesus is. Because that's what it comes down to. Who is this Jesus? If this Jesus is just some guy that you pray to every night, but you really don't know him, it's what we do, it's what we have to do, it's what I was trained to do. We're missing it. You might have been in love before. You might be in love now, and I hope you are. But that love didn't just happen. That love was something you invested in, you worked at, you learned. I'm going places you're going to be uncomfortable with. You learn, I'm using metaphorically, to get naked before people. To be scary close, as one writer says. That you're willing to let others see you. Not the pretend you, not the fake you, not the you that's got all these degrees, diplomas, not the you that's the Mr. or Mrs. Popular, not the you that has all the nice fancy toys or the big bank account. The you. What would it look like if we never told each other what we did for a living? What would it look like if we didn't say what team we're a part of? Don't get me wrong. I'm a competitive person. I love sports. But what if? It would be different for me, because when I see someone with a New York Yankee hat on or shirt, I'm like, oh, that hurts. And my wife then wears one proudly the next day. I'm like, dang it, stop it, woman. But in all seriousness, what would it look like if we really were honest and open? You only do that when you trust someone, though, don't you? It's too risky. This might be a little too risky for the ones we love already. Who's the person that's hurt my wife the most in this entire world? Me. I'm not proud to say that. But that's the intimacy that happens. I've been hurt the most by her. I've definitely hurt her more, so you know this. But in all seriousness, that's the person that we let go. Jesus wants that kind of relationship with us. This water here is water. We prayed over it. We asked God to bless it. We trust that the Lord is going to just work through that amazing baby boy. He's going to shine through him. He's going to help that family through all the challenges and all the seasons of their lives. The beauty, though, is that it's not just a moment here. It's a part of what God is doing, the story he is telling. Sometimes we look at the Bible as a list of do's and don'ts, wrongs and rights. What do I do? What do I not do? Versus maybe it's bigger. Maybe it's the story of what God is doing in this world and how you and I fit in that. That you and I take our everyday, ordinary lives, that our comings or goings, whether we're volunteering in a community, maybe we're giving, donating blood, maybe we're helping in our local schools, we're volunteering, we're trying to love others. Maybe we're loving our grandchildren, we're watching them, and they're crazy, and we're like, I'm ready to pull my hair out. Maybe we're a preschool teacher, and we're questioning our calling. Dear Lord, it's the first week of school. Why am I here? Wherever you find yourself, know this. He's building something up. He says you're being built into a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, that you are the mediators. No matter where you find yourself in life, whether you're retiring or you're entering your senior year, you are God's house. And so he says you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises, that you and I may declare how good God is. Now, that means we got to know how good God is. Let me kind of really have some fun here. So we have this King David. King David is just, he's the man when it comes to the kings in the Bible. There's been some good kings. There's a lot more bad kings, but there's some good kings out there. King David was given a promise. He said, your royal son will build the temple. Well, his biological son ended up building the temple. But then there was a promise that your son will always be king. And it caused people to start asking questions. What is this promise that God has given? Interesting, in case you didn't know, I'm going to give a little fun fact. The Hebrew word ben means son. There's a little wordplay Peter's doing here, because the Hebrew word for stone is eben. And so he's playing this kind of word, if you will, play on this idea of being a stone, a royal stone, being given to build not this temple, but you and I. Breathe that in. Breathe that in. That God doesn't see what you see in the mirror. He's bigger. He loves you so much deeper. So this idea of demonstrating what life could be in him, of how you and I can take our lives and put it before him, whether we're in the professional workplace or whether we're volunteering at Manatee Academy, wherever we find ourselves, where has God placed you? Maybe you're in a gym class that there's someone that gets picked on. stepping up, doing something about it. What's your next step? It's not a hard one in the fact of the concept. See, all the things that Peter tells us to do in the chapter 1 and throughout the rest of his letter are all things that are like, yeah, good people would do that. Kind people would do that. That makes sense. I can see that. It's not about knowing new things. It's about doing them. Isn't that true? This one is it. Surrender. Who does Jesus mean to you? It's Jesus who says, I love you. I've given my life for you and the world. I invite you to walk with me, to know me, to trust me. So, surrender is where we go with this. And until you and I are able to really let go and trust the Lord, we're going to struggle. We're going to wrestle. We're going to be frustrated. We're not going to get it. There are seasons in life, right? You've had moments of just joy. You've had seasons of brokenness and sadness and loss. Wherever you find yourself, the Lord has been there. It's that moment that we don't see him, that we think he's not there. It's the moment we don't feel him, we think he's not there. But then do this, remember. Remember your baptism. Remember that the same God who helped the sun rise yesterday is going to help it rise again today and help it rise again tomorrow. That when you feel like you can't stand anymore, stand anyways. Lord Jesus, help. Lord Jesus, I surrender. And then watch and listen and see and taste how good the Lord is. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you that you love us so much in him. And it's beyond us of how you do it and what you do. We need to continue to grow up. We need to continue to be your people. And Lord, for those of us that are struggling with surrendering to you, help us know that you're trustworthy, that you're good, that your love for us is exactly what we need. It is enough. That Jesus, you'll make our life better and you'll make us better at life. Help us to believe in you. Help us to trust in you. Help us to be able to answer, who is this Jesus? And as we are being built up here and all over the world, you're building up your people in the churches like The Grove and Palm City and Indy River and so many of our brothers and sisters around the community. We ask that we would be your hands and feet, that you would take our lives and use it for your glory. That we would know it's not about being perfect, it's not about pretending, it's not about even trying harder, but about trusting more. Lord, I lift up every guest here and I pray that you would bless them in ways, help them to know of you and your love, give them eyes to see, ears to hear, and a heart to believe and trust. And for those of us that have been running in the journey with you, continue to give us encouragement and guidance and your love, that we may trust in you and be your people. We do know, Lord, that this life can be hard, can be difficult. But we know that you taught your disciples to pray, to seek you out by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.